Luke chapter 12, verse number 42 is one of the memory verses for the year. And a faithful God, a faithful people, which is our theme. And this morning I want to deal with the subject of stewardship. In fact, I want to preach some messages on this question out of the text. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? Who then is that faithful and wise steward? In order to have stewardship right, you have to get ownership right. If you don't understand the principle of ownership in the Scripture, you'll never properly function in the position of being a steward. And so this morning I've entitled the message, Ownership and Stewardship. Ownership and Stewardship. The biblical principle of ownership involves recognizing this truth, that all things ultimately belong to God. I know that's simple. I know that's review. I know that for some of you, we're going back to kindergarten. But you know what? It's good to review good, solid Bible principles. Because sometimes, even though we believe a principle, we don't always live by that principle. And so it's good to remind us of the principles by which we should live our lives by. What does that mean then? If ultimately everything belongs to God, then what? Then He entrusts us with resources and responsibilities to steward or to manage for His glory. As the creator of all things, God holds the certificate of ownership for the world and all the people in it. He created it. He created them. He created you. He created me. Turn to in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 24 and verse number 1. Psalm 24 and verse number 1, as we look at some principles on ownership and stewardship this morning in the message. My daughter and I have a kind of a joke going, and well, it's not really a joke. It can be a sore spot. I recruited her to work with me in our garden this year, okay? And she worked with me in our garden last year, but then when I talk about our garden, I call it my garden. And she's faithful to remind me that it's our garden, Dad. And as long as you speak about it as our garden, I'll be willing to help you in our garden. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was talking about the garden in church, and I said, my garden. You may not have caught it, but she caught it. And she said, Dad, it really hindered me from hearing the rest of your message. I was listening to our garden. So we were talking yesterday. We were talking about this principle of ownership. And I said, you know, really, it's not ours. And it's not mine. It's God's. Psalm chapter 24, verse number 1 says this, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Interesting that the Bible encompasses everything in this verse. The earth, the Bible says, is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, all of it belongs to God. If you're taking notes this morning, write down this first truth, the recognition of God's ownership. The recognition of God's ownership. This morning is a great reminder message to all Christians that what you have came from God and belongs to God. It does not belong to us. It's not my car. It's not my house. It's not my children. It's not my belongings. It's not my investments. It's not my anything. It's God's. It's God's. And I want you to see some things about this ownership. First of all, I want you to understand that biblical salvation comes with strings attached. And the string attached is that you have an owner. When you get saved, you have an owner. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is important. A lot of times we want to make salvation so that, you know, you can get saved and it won't cost you anything. You can get saved and, you know, you can live your way according to your dictates, according to your desires, and you just get saved. No, when you get saved, it comes with a certificate of ownership. And the certificate of ownership belongs to God, because God at salvation buys you. The word, the Bible word, is redeemed. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6 points it out very clearly. Verse number 19. The Bible says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God. In other words, it came from God. And ye are not your own. You're not your own. For ye are, verse number 20, bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Everything that you are, Christian, is from the Lord. Ye have from the Lord, but you're bought with a price. That means that Christ owns you, and He owns me. And it's important for us to live in that mentality and be reminded of that mentality, that my body is not for my use on a daily basis. It's for His use. Everything that I have is for His use. He's the owner. I'm the steward. I'm owned. Now watch this. If you haven't come to Christ, you've not been saved. You've not been redeemed. You don't have the righteousness of Christ in you. Then you're not going to live like you're under ownership. You're going to live like you own yourself. The Bible calls you children, a child of disobedience. What is a child of disobedience? A child of disobedience is somebody that does his own thing. Child of disobedience is when I tell one of my children, hey, could you go out and get the mail, please? And they say, no, I'm not doing that. Or they may not say no, they just may not do it. They're doing their own thing. Listen, before salvation, that's expected. But after salvation, you're under new ownership, my friend. And new owners change things. You ever see a building that was pretty messed up? I mean, they didn't keep track of the outside. They didn't keep up the outside. And the property just looked dingy, but new ownership took over. What do? Man, they got to put a business in there or something. They clean it up. They improve it. They put some work on it. I don't know if you see the house along Route 74 that looked just terrible for years. And now I drive by it like, man, that's a brand new house. Somebody's putting some time and investment money into that to make it, to be a good steward of it, to make something out of it. Listen, when you become saved at the moment of salvation, you're under new ownership. You're bought with a price. You have somebody to glorify besides yourself. And that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Job chapter 41, who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine, God speaking. Everything that exists belongs to God. Haggai chapter 2 and verse number 8 says this, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. All the finances, all the economic structure in the whole wide world, it doesn't belong to mankind. It belongs to God. God's the owner of it all. It's important for us to recognize His ownership. Farmers, you know that God owns your cattle? Hunters, you understand that the forest is owned by God? You know the Bible says in Psalm 50, verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, all of it belongs to God. It is good for our minds to come back to that truth every once in a while, that everything that we have comes from the Lord. It belongs to God. Nebuchadnezzar learned the lesson of ownership the hard way. And by the way, if Nebuchadnezzar could learn the lesson the hard way, is there a chance that we might have to learn the same lesson a hard way? Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, I want you to begin following along as I read verses 30 through 37 of Daniel chapter 4. Daniel, or Nebuchadnezzar, got into the I and my mentality. Not his. Verse number 30 of Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar is king, and he's king of Babylon, one of the most powerful countries, establishments in the world at the time. And Nebuchadnezzar says this, the king spake in verse number 30 of Daniel 4 and said, is not this great Babylon that, what's the next word? I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of, what's the next word? My power. And for the honor of my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. You know the problem with I and my mentality? It's pride. And any time where God sees pride, you know what he does? He brings that person low. Here, King Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I built this great Babylon. It's all about my majesty and my power. And notice the next verse. God didn't waste any time. And he heard a voice saying, thy kingdom is departed from thee. Huh. Verse number 32. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, for they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. How long was he going to dwell with the beast of the field and eat the grass with the oxen? What was God's timetable? Until Nebuchadnezzar, you can learn a lesson. What's that lesson going to be? That lesson's going to be until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. That this is not about you, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, you better get the mentality that you recognize my ownership in your life. And until you can do that, I'm going to make life really rough. You're going to go from the palace to sleep out in the field with the beasts. You're going to go from being able to eat whatever you want to eating the grass with the oxen. I'm going to bring you real low until you understand the truth that my ownership matters in your life. Until you recognize my ownership. Look at verse number 34. The Bible says that at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Do you see any focus on I there? Now all his attention is where? On God. Oh, God owns all the kingdoms of the world. Look at verse number 15. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. Verse number 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. Verse number 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He was brought low so that his understanding and reasoning came back to him. And that reasoning was this: I'm nothing. I don't have anything to brag about. I can't say about my, I. There's none of that. The King of heaven. Whatever I have is from the King of heaven. What I see now is a God that rules over all. He recognized God's ownership. Hear me, Christian, this morning. Don't get off base in this area. This was a painful thing for Nebuchadnezzar to go through. But the value of it at the end was more valuable than being king of his kingdom. Being king of God's kingdom. But he had to go through a very painful process of being brought low, so that he could lift his eyes toward heaven, so that understanding and reason could return again and he could see God for who he is. You may have similar thoughts like Nebuchadnezzar this morning. I earned my money. No one gave me anything. I had to work for it. No, if God didn't give it to you, it wouldn't matter how hard you worked. Everything comes from God. It may be true that you put long hours in to get where you are, yet it is God who created you in the first place. And it's God who gives you the strength to work long hours. And it's God who gives you the talent to be able to make a living. And we better remember that. God wants, I believe, someone to understanding and reason to return to him this morning, just like Nebuchadnezzar. Just getting a little carried away with life too much. a little bit about mine and what I've built and what I've attained and, you know, how I am successful in life. Whoa, 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 whoa. You better get back to the principle of ownership. You better get back to recognizing God's ownership in your life. The Bible says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." He gives us the power to get wealth according to the scriptures, according to Deuteronomy 8, verse number 18. So, with salvation comes ownership. We need to recognize God's ownership in our lives. But there's not only an attachment to salvation. There's a biblical response to God's ownership in your life. What is the biblical response to God's ownership? You ever had somebody take the parking space before you got it? You ever turned in Walmart, you know, you got these lanes of parking, and you come, ooh, there's a front spot. And you actually get there before somebody else does. But that somebody else takes the spot that you think belonged to you. You ever done that before? I have. Right? The problem is, we live with the feelings and the mindset that we have rights. And we have privileges. And our rights and privileges are more than somebody else's rights. When you assert your individual rights as greater than others, that's called entitlement. And there's a disease, there's a spiritual disease called entitle-itis that we get with God, and sometimes we get with others. When something doesn't go our way and something doesn't fit into our convenience, we sometimes accuse God of that. God, look what I've done, and you did this to me? How can you, like we have some right with God? Or with other brethren. I didn't deserve to be treated that way. How can they talk to me that way? Like I have an entitlement for you to talk to me right. Like it's my right and it's your wrong. We live sometimes with a mentality of rights and expectations. And I want to give you some things that will help you this morning in relationship to that. A biblical response to God's ownership is this: I focus on my responsibilities, not my rights. That is, God didn't give me any rights in Scripture. There's no place that I have a Bill of Rights in Scripture. I know America has a Bill of Rights, but the Bible doesn't have a Bill of Rights. The Bible doesn't say you have the right to this and you have the right to this. The Bible doesn't say you have a right to freedom in America. I'm glad we have it, but understand, you don't have a right to it from the Bible. There are lots of people in Scripture that went through their lives and never had freedom. By the way, there's lots of people today in the world that don't have freedom. God didn't entitle us all to have freedom. I like freedom. I value freedom. I appreciate it. But you know what? Living in a free society, you know what it tends to have us do? It tends to have us look at our rights and ignore our responsibilities. Now watch this. How's this play out, preacher? Where are you going? Here's where I'm going. God entrusted me with the responsibility of parenting. That's a responsibility. Well, then I just have the right for my children to treat me right all the time. No. That's not going to happen in your life. So am I to be frustrated about all these rights that have been violated or my expectations of my kids that have fallen way short? No, I'm to focus on my responsibilities. Not on my rights. Focus on my responsibilities. God gave me the privilege to be a Christian. He saved my soul. Does that mean I have a whole bunch of rights now? And if I don't get treated right by God, or I don't feel like he's treating me fairly in this life, that I'm done with you. No, I focus on my responsibilities before him. He gave me the privilege to be saved. And so I yield my rights to him, and I focus on my responsibilities. We got way too many people today complaining over rights and expectations and privileges that they think they ought to get, and not focusing on daily responsibilities before God for what God's given us. God gave you a job. God gave me a responsibility here as a pastor. It's not a whole bunch of rights come with it. There's a whole bunch of responsibilities come with it. I should focus on my responsibilities and let God take care of the righteous. Preacher, you have an example of that? How about Naaman in the Old Testament? Naaman was a good man. He was highly respected. He was wealthy. He was influential. He was a valiant warrior. But he had a problem. He was a leper. He's all these things. Bless God, I ought to be able to talk to the prophet. Did he get to talk to the prophet? What'd the prophet do? Let me send a servant out to talk to you. Here the servant comes and, you know, man, there's got to be an instant remedy for this. Can't the prophet just speak the words and heal me? No, go dip in the dirty Jordan 7 times. Bible says when Naaman heard that, he was wroth. You know why he was wroth? Watch this. I have rights. I'm important. I shouldn't have to do that. And the servant said, you want to be healed of your leprosy? Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And finally, Naaman got about the responsibility. He got his eyes off the rights and got his eyes on the responsibility that was given by the servant through the prophet, or by the prophet through the servant. And he did it, and God took care of him and healed him. Say, preacher, you got another example? I do. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Our rights become very prideful. They lead to arrogance in our lives. We think we deserve things from family, and we think we deserve things from friends, and because of our knowledge, we think we deserve good health. We think we deserve a good reputation, and we can go on and on. We deserve a certain way of life. We're in America. Now what we deserve is hell. That's what we deserve. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, look at this. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what we learn here? We learn that Christ gave up quite a bit. He yielded his rights to the Lord. He yielded the right of reputation. He made himself of no reputation. Lord, you take control of that. He was sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he became a servant. He yielded position. He was made in the likeness of men. He became 100% man and at the same time 100% deity. Why would you become 100% man if you could be deity? And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And what did he do? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You say, preacher, where was his focus? On rights or responsibilities? You tell me. He became obedient unto what? Unto death. Even the death of the cross. Christian, sad thing is, when you're focused on rights, there's a high chance you're not doing your responsibilities. Ownership, part of recognizing ownership is understanding that I yield those things to him, the rights, the privileges, my expectations. Lord, you take care of all that. And by the way, did God take care of Christ in the end? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Did he take care of his reputation? Huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got to take care of all those things. You just get your responsibilities right. You just make sure you're hitting your marks on a daily basis as a Christian in the workplace. You say, well, preacher, they're not treating me fairly. Preacher so-and-so got a raise, and I work harder than them, and I'm more available than them, and I'm faithful, and I am loyal to that boss, and they seem to treat somebody else better. Listen, focus on your responsibility, and let God take care of the other. He's owner. He's owner of it all. He's owner of your boss. He knows how to turn the king's heart, the Bible says. Let God take care of all that. You just get up every morning and say, you know what? I'm going to do what I'm going to do today to the glory of God. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to make sure that as what I'm responsible for, the areas and the roles and the hats that I fill, I'm going to take care of those things. And Lord, the rest of it is yours. Christ yielded his right to be served. And if anybody deserves to be served, it's Jesus. He yielded his right to physical comforts. There's no greater place of physical comfort than glory. He yielded his right to make his own decisions because the Father had made the decision he was going to give his Son. He yielded his right to be treated as king. There is an example to follow in the Bible, and his name is Jesus. Bible says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Christian, you're battling with rights. You're battling with expectations. You're battling with what you think is going to happen, and it didn't happen that way. You're battling with what you thought you had as a privilege, but it's not turning out to be the privilege that you thought it was going to be. Hear me this morning. Surrender the rights, the expectations to the Lord. Trust Him to take good care of what belongs to Him. Don't get into a manipulated form of living where you're trying to pull all the change behind the scenes in order to get your rights and get your privileges and get the expectations that you want. Listen, God doesn't want us to work that way. God doesn't want us to live that way. God doesn't want us to think that we're in control of all that. He's in control of all that. You take care of your responsibilities. That's part of recognizing God's ownership. And if you'll hear that sound Bible wisdom this morning and you'll put it into practice, you know what it will do? It'll relieve your mind of a lot. Because rights, rewards, privileges, expectations, where does all that control us? Right here. Let it go this morning. Say, Lord, I'm just going to focus on my responsibilities. You're owner of everything. What you've given me, you've made me responsible in. Help me to manage the responsibilities that you've given to me. God is not interested in giving us what we deserve, as He is in our recognizing that He is the owner of all things, and He's able to work it all together for good. Some people make the mistake of thinking that when they yield their rights to God, they absolve themselves from all personal responsibilities. When we yield our rights to the Lord, we must be careful not to do this. For example, a student here may say, well, I gave my grades to the Lord, so therefore I don't study as hard as I used to because I just gave it to the Lord. Or a parent may say, I surrendered my rights to discipline my children, so I've stopped chastening them when they irritate me. No. Watch this. Rights and responsibilities are different. Okay? Expectations and responsibilities are different. The more you have been given, the more you have to manage. Who then is a faithful and wise steward, the Bible says, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their meat in due season. Who then is that person? Wise and faithful. The more you have, the more you have to be a steward of. The more children you have, the more you have to manage for his glory. The more possessions you have, the more you have to manage for his glory. And the responsibility, watch this, is to become a distributor. God never gives it all to us for us. God gives it to us, temporal blessings, in order that we may turn it into eternal as a manager. That we would turn it and use it for His glory. Trust Him regarding what He has given you to manage. Ah, man, I didn't get that house. We thought we were going to get that house. Oh, let's trust the Lord for what He's given you to manage. Maybe that was too much management for you right now. God knows what we can manage. And so if something doesn't turn out the way that you thought it was going to turn out, and it's a financial hit, or it's a, my hope was in this. Take a step back and say, wait a second. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God knows what I can manage. And I can trust God with what He's going to give me to manage. All right? You get married. You're thinking about marriage. That's a big management. Gentlemen, you're responsible for your wife the rest of your life. That's a huge stewardship. And so trust the Lord in that area. Be working in that area to be a faithful manager in all the other things of life that you have, so that if God opens up that gift and says, hey, I want you to have a mate, you've been faithful over here in these things, I can trust you with this now. Okay? That is the biblical recognition of ownership. Trust what He's given you to manage. Concentrate on your responsibilities. Then thirdly, thank God for whatever happens. Thank God for whatever happens. By yielding our rights to God and trusting God, we can be thankful with however it turns out. And so the Scriptures teach us in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Job said, the Lord gave. Here's His children. Here's all of His animals, property. The Lord gave. Thank the Lord for what He gave, for what you had the opportunity to manage. And then the time came where the Lord took away in Job's life. And he says, and the Lord hath taken away. What was he recognizing in this statement? He owns it all. So whatever He gives me to manage, for whatever time He gives me to manage, help me to manage it, Lord, to please You. And then he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How did he get to that, preacher? He got to that by living with a mentality that he's the owner and I'm the manager. He could have never said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away, if he would have said, my children are mine. If he would have lived with the thought that, you know what, this farm and these animals and my riches and my wealth, I got it. No, Job lived with the right perspective so that when he didn't have it any longer, he could release it loosely. Christian, we got to come to that part of living in our lives. That every day, God owns everything. What He's given me today, I may not have tomorrow. God sometimes only gives windows to manage things. Your children in your home, that's a window. Small window. Okay? Your job, your relationships with your bosses, your relationships with your coworkers. Who knows, a year from now you may not be in that job. You may not be with those people. But you have that to manage today. Manage it right. Manage it right. Who then is a faithful and wise steward? Next time we'll get into the responsibilities of stewardship. But I wonder in your life, are you living with that mentality that He's the owner? It really changes life when you think that way. When the car breaks down, you don't let a bad word slip out. Because he owns it. Okay, Lord, well, you're in charge of this. You help me to know how to fix it. Here's a good prayer for you on a daily basis. As I close, the prayer goes like this. Lord, what gifts have you given me today? And Lord, how do you want me to manage them? You give me the gift of love, Lord. How do you want me to manage that today? Who do you want me to love? How do you want me to love them? How do you want me to communicate that love to them? Lord, you've given me a mouth to talk. Lord, what should I say today? Do you think God would answer that question? I think he would. And you know what? When you're asking God on a daily basis, Lord, what gifts have you given me today that I can be thankful for first and I can use for eternal glory? You know what's not coming out of your mouth? Oh, I don't have that. We don't come out and say it, but we think it. Look at so-and-so. Look at what they got. How'd they get there? No, the focus is not on the rights or the expectation. The focus is on responsibility with what God has given me as gifts. Because everything I have from God is a gift.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.